Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Leaving Hillsong. This is part two of a Pentecostal agenda. And last week, Fiona was talking a bit about domestic violence before we ended, and there's been a bit of feedback about trauma and how listening to this podcast in particular is bringing stuff up for people. So I talk to a lot of people with a lot of different kinds of trauma as a result, and I was wondering if people would be interested in having that discussion on the podcast or whether that would be too traumatic all over again. So what kind of things would you like to talk about? Please do let me know, either through a message or on Facebook or however. So this is a pretty frank discussion about that kind of a relationship. So please be aware that these things can be really stressful, even if you don't plan for it or you think everything's kind of going well. The trauma hits all of us at some point or another, so you're never alone. We're learning stuff here all the time, new stuff in different ways from different people, and it's been really good. And of course, if you want to come share your story, please get in contact too. If you want to appear on Leaving Hillsong, doors wide open, and you're free to discuss what you want to discuss. So let's pick up where we left off.
I very much relate to people that have been in a domestic violence or abusive situation. Yeah, when they're insisted controlling, whether it's a controlling group or a controlling partner, the result is the same, and the methods are the same. It's isolate.
Yeah.
It's strip down their self-esteem. It's cut them off from healthy relationships. You know, it's all of those things.
Yeah, outside world.
Rip them of financial freedom. That, all these tactics.
Exhaust them, like you were saying.
Keep us so busy that we're not able to do anything else. Yeah, all these tactics are the same as what controlling partners use in those kind of relationships. Coercive control is the same, whether it's in a group or in a relationship. And
yes,
you know, people often say, oh, you know, I respect, say, for example, Scott Morrison's beliefs. He can believe whatever he wants privately. No, these groups, and I know from the inside, these groups, the Pentecostal movement, is damaging thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, Tanya, as you know, I started a petition to stop Hillsong going into schools because they had announced they were going to do a national school tour. And I just thought, no, you can't go into public secular schools and start recruiting into these groups because it's just so dangerous.
That's such an important point, because people think that these are, you know, some really good looking, happy people. They seem to not have a whole lot of problems. They promote all this so-called community work that they do, that, you know, they can't be harmful. They look fine, they're shiny. And, you know, if anything, you know, well, what kind of group doesn't have its problems is what we often hear. What you're talking about and what we find is they're actually quite damaging and quite harmful, and they do need to be prevented from influencing as many people as possible.
Mm.
And not everybody is damaged. Not everybody you know, has intensive trauma, and there's loads of factors behind that. But for the people that are damaged, for the people that do experience the trauma, it's very severe.
Yeah, and look, I think it depends how involved you get with the groups. Like some people have come in, just attended at a basic kind of level and then left at the time that they felt to and maybe haven't experienced that. But, you know, I think there's layers of commitment that you get into, and the deeper you get into the commitment, the more likely you are to have that trauma. I mean, the other side of it is just the financial, like the whole prosperity message came sweeping through these churches. I think it was the early 90s and it was being preached at Hillsong every single meeting that you went to. So I went to about 6 Hillsong conferences over that time that I was in this group, and every single meeting, every single time there was a speaker, always sending an offering bucket around, always preaching for about 15 to 20 minutes, just about giving money to the church. And the message at the time was give 10% of your income, and it's not just your net income, your gross income.
Yes, always the pre-tax, always the first fruits.
You know, if you weren't $70,000, but your take-home income was $55,000, you still have to give 10%, which is $77,000 of your income a year. Mm. And then the message was also, that was just God's insurance. So that was just stopping the devil getting on your money and taking your money. But if you give above your 10%, then God starts to give you this kind of 30 times, 60 times, 100 times what you've given, and blesses you supposedly with this prosperity, which
God's got like bracket creep.
Yeah.
In the taxes,
yeah, you might only get 30, you might get 100, depends on your faith level.
Wow.
And how much you believe God. So this is the message that was coming through Hillsong that then my pastor ran with all abandon. So, you know, this is me when I wasn't earning, you know, big money. I was in my 20s. I think over that time I gave $30,000 or $40,000. Probably more, because that would have been my tithe. I would have given more than that. And the pastors would literally come up to me and say, we've just noticed this person in your cell group or your youth group hasn't tithed for a month. You might want to go and have a chat. And not only that, they, at the end of it, it came out that they were earning something like $130,000 from a church of about 80 people. Yeah, and with the size group that we were, and you know, and not only that, I mean that was tax free money, so that was all whatever you call it, salary sacrifice or whatever you call it, because we're church tax free status. Driving 2 cars that were leased, salary sacrificed, big house in Kew, which is a rich suburb in Melbourne, and everyone else. There was people in the church that couldn't pay their bills, that weren't able to eat properly during the week because they just kept giving money, and all we were doing was just giving money for their lifestyle. And we can see that outplaying in Hillsong and churches like that, where the pastors get really rich, but then the people that are serving them, strangely, they're not prospering so much.
And where had you thought that money was going?
I thought it was going into the operation of the church predominantly.
That was your pastor from your small 30, 40 people group?
Totally, typically an AOG pastor.
Okay.
And then I don't even know. I guess I didn't think about it. And it was kind of the thing that often happens. I have in revival centers and this group as well, is if you ever ask to see the books, then, you know, that's real undermining of the, you know, that's a sackable offense. So you just wouldn't
even though
ask.
They're completely open and transparent, completely ready, come and have a look anytime.
Yeah, but if you asked, mate, it was, that was another session in the pastor's room with all the bullying and I never asked. I knew that if you asked that question, you were dead meat.
And when you say another session, I mean, that sounds,
well, the higher you got up, the more they happened. So,
and what were the kinds of things they were saying to you?
They would just constantly tell me that I had fallen away from God, that I was full of pride, you just those kind of things that maybe don't sound much when I'm saying them now, but when your belief system is that if you fall away from God, you're going to go to hell, or that other people that you're responsible for. So being in leadership, then that guilt drive was even more intense, because, you know, I'm leading dozens of people, and if I did something wrong, then they could all fall away and they could all go to hell, and that would be my responsibility.
It's an incredible lot of stress for 20-something-year-old.
Yeah, I was 28 when I left the group.
What finally happened to
Well, probably for the last year or two, I was starting to cause trouble. So I was going up to people and going, something's not right. I was starting to see some of the same signs of the revival centres, where we were all in this group and we had no contact with people outside. Okay. We couldn't question anything without huge consequences. The money that we were giving was just becoming much more excessive. And my pastor was actually, he ended up having an affair, cliche, but ended up having an affair with a 20-year-old girl in the church. So he was about 40 at the time. And he was getting me to pastor her and mentor her, but to break up with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so that he could move in, he ended up in such a state of delusion where he'd already been married before when he was in, because he was grew up in the revival centers as well. And his dad was quite a high up pastor in the revival centers. So he was married to a woman there, divorced her, as a lot of people in revival centers did once they hit their mid-20s, and then met Angie. Her dad was also a pastor in the revival centers that she'd been kicked out. They got together. Now he was wanting to have an affair with this girl. So he believed that his first wife was Egypt, his second wife was the wilderness, and this third woman, young girl, was going to be the promised land. This is how crazy things were getting.
And misogynist, like that. Do you know what I mean?
It's all about
some kind of biblical superhero Charlton Heston, and that women are vast stretches of land. It's just,
yeah. So it was crazy. And then, so I was starting to go around to people and starting to question. My eyes were starting to open. And then, what happened was one of the Guglielmucci's came to the church and was doing consultations as part of our mentoring kind of session. And we were all ready. There was a group of us leaders all ready to go and talk about what we were seeing and the problems that we were seeing happen. But Angie sat in every session, so we couldn't actually talk. But it came out that he was having an affair with this girl, and then everything blew up overnight. And then it all came out about the finances, about this girl. And it probably took me a few months, but I basically went through a process after that. It was a very traumatic time because, you know, I'd lost again my whole community of people, everything I'd believed for 28 years. You know, suddenly I was starting to realize, hang on a minute, maybe none of it's true. I then put everything on, you know, metaphorically kind of put everything on a table and thought, I'm going to question everything I know. And I still thought I'd come out as a Christian at the end of that process. But as I went down the rabbit warren, just kept going, oh, hang on a minute, the Bible, oh my goodness. And then I'd explore how it was actually written, how it's translated. And I thought, man, that book's not even, you know, it's a book written by men in a certain era. It's a historical text. And we're taught that it's literally the word of God. There, I could start to see the whole church system was corrupt right to the core. You know, I started, Hillsong at the time was the church that was the most successful, amazing thing that we were all aspiring to be like. And I was starting to see the teachings that corrupted us actually came directly from this church.
The teachings that corrupted you.
The teachers that corrupted our church, although I'd say it's corrupt from the start, but the teachings that really made it unhealthy because of the prosperity doctrine that came through. But there was also a strong doctrine that came through that not to question leaders. That was being preached from Hillsong. So it was.
Touch not the Lord's anointed.
That's right. So all that sort of teaching. Yeah, I remember them saying, there was someone that preached at a Hillsong conference that one of the just before everything sort of blew up, but they were saying, as a leader, you can't dump down. So if you're leading people, you can't talk to them about issues that you're having. You have to talk up.
Sure.
And I'm like, in my church, that the only way I could talk up was to David and Angie. So there, and that's where I was having the problem. So I couldn't talk to you within that context. So yeah, then I questioned everything. I hooked up with a girl within 6 weeks of leaving, and I
wonderful.
Just assumed that none of it was true. And there's a whole long story about how I escaped all of that too. So
was there a final day, or did you just one day never go back, or how did that work?
I hung around for a few months just thinking maybe the church could be healthy now that they're gone, but I was really questioning, starting to talk. And I remember I only had one friend that I'd made outside of the church that whole 10 years, really.
That's and her incredible. Name,
she was a youth leader at another church, but one of those churches that had bikies, cigarette breaks in the middle of church, like totally different kind of church. And I rang her and I just said, my church has fallen apart. I don't even know what's up and down anymore. And she said, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, will you have a beer with me? So we did. We had a beer, and then she invited me out constantly to parties. I eventually moved into her house and became one of her flatmates and got a whole new group of friends. So that was really important, was having somewhere that I could connect to.
Community.
Yeah, I had a community to kind of go to. That meant that I wasn't getting pulled back into the same direction. I could look forward.
Were they pulling you back at all into that church? How much of a follow-up did you get when you stopped going?
The church that took over kind of the leadership was Burwood AOG. So Melinda Dwight ran that church at the time. She's on the board of Hillsong now. She did a terrible job, basically, of looking after us. She just went to Africa for 6 weeks. A couple months later, we're all, you know, wounded on the side of the road, and she's supposed to be leading us through this, and just left and went to Africa on some mission trip. And then she had a meeting with, we had to have a meeting with the leadership team and David and Angie and decide about where the finances were going to go. And she basically said, we're going to offer David and Angie grace. And they let them off all their debts. And I was like, and then the church absorbed all their debts. And I was like, oh, it's not your grace to give.
I don't know what this grace is that just sort of whitewashes everything when those are people's tithe.
It should have gone back into somewhere else. But yeah, someone put on Twitter recently, I think it was Bob Cotton, he put on Twitter, why does the church offer grace to the perpetrator and law to the victim? Like, why are we giving them grace? They're not, and why is it not our choice?
They really close ranks when that happens. And I don't know of a case where they've ever been, any sort of misguided pastor has ever been held accountable and made to pay back, or, you know, they just sort of go away for a while. And
I listened to a ABC Listen podcast recently on Earshot, and they talked about people that had lost their religion but had felt the hole in their life afterwards, which I guess I didn't have to that extent, because I was so excited to leave. I really was. It was like this whole big, beautiful world to explore. But because I had a great group of friends almost instantly, that really helped. But basically, he was saying that legally there's a, you know, if you volunteer in a church, it is a workplace. So you're covered by the same laws, actually. We should be covered by the same laws as a workplace. If you volunteer in any organisation, it's your workplace. It's considered to be a workplace. So if we're being bullied, or, you know, there is coercive control or that kind of thing going on, there is channels to get protection and report and do that kind of thing that just wasn't around when I was doing, you know, when I was involved.
How they manage that, because the structure is so set up as punishment, reward, punishment. So just looking at what it was like for you afterwards, you talked about the big, beautiful world and not having that big hole that some people seem to experience. How long have you been out of the church now then? 16, 17 years?
Yeah, so I'm 44 now. So, yeah, it'd be 16 years. Yeah, I left in May 2005. So, yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
10 years. Okay.
And what do you, initially when you left, it was exciting and it was, there were lots of novelties and you could drink more than one beer, or I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, I did go
the freedoms you
quite
could have.
Typically down the road of sex, drugs, rock and roll, because, you know, it's funny, it was like a delayed adolescence in a way.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about that.
Yeah. It's like I was kind of, you know, hitting my 30s, but going through my adolescence. Yeah, but I remember it was funny because one thing that I held on to for quite a long time was growing up, I'd had these kind of experiences that I would describe as spiritual experiences. So, mm-hmm. When I pray, I would kind of have this, tangible body experience where sometimes I couldn't move. I was just so overtaken and I couldn't let go of that. That was the one thing. So once everything else had kind of stripped away, I was like, but I had these spiritual experiences. One thing I did when I left is I started smoking. It was kind of this outward way of going, I'm not part of you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm smoking. And, 7 years later or whatever, no one's looking. But here I am with an addiction. So the reason I'm telling you that is because then I went and got, after a few years, I wanted to get, maybe not a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years, but I was heavily addicted. I wanted to get hypnotized. Someone said, go and get hypnotized and see. So I did. She went through the whole thing, where I smoked, and then did my hypnosis session. And she started the session with, you're a pebble falling in the pond, blah, blah, blah. And then I literally felt like I was this pebble falling in a pond. It was like I could really feel it. And I was, deeply hypnotized. And it's such a, if you've ever experienced it, it's quite a beautiful feeling. And then she's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, brings me back into the room. And apparently I looked quite shocked, like there was quite a look of shock on my face. And she said, what's going on? Are you okay? And I said, oh, I've experienced this before. And she said, but you said you hadn't been hypnotized. And I said, no, this is what I used to experience when I prayed, when I was in meetings at church, when the music and the worshiping and the preaching, these are the spiritual experiences I had. And I thought, that's where everything fully unraveled for me, because it was like someone who knew how to alter the state of my mind.
Interesting.
Yeah, gave me the same experience as someone gave me when I was at church. I would describe it as some kind of group trance.
Now, did you used to get slain in the spirit?
Yeah. So, and I'd have real experiences, but
I wonder if that's the same as when
I got hypnotized. It was the same kind of, out of body. Experience where you can't move. I genuinely think what we're going through in those meetings, and particularly the way they use music in Pentecostal churches particularly, I think it brings people into this kind of hyped up, mass hypnosis. From that moment, that's when I all unraveled and I was like, hang on, there's an explanation for some of this stuff that I was calling God.
And I suppose you spoke in tongues quite freely and happily then?
Yeah, loved it. Yeah, we used to rap in tongues in the second.
Oh my God. Really? Give us some. Come on.
Shumanamana, 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 ne.
I wonder if you're speaking like. I mean, I could do the speaking in tongues. I was never, ever able to be properly swayed in the spirit.
My psychologist also said to me, there's 5% of the world that are highly susceptible to hypnosis, and for about 5% of the world that just can't be, for whatever reason, just can't be. And she said, I'm one of the 5% that are highly susceptible, because she said, as soon as she went, you're a pebble in a pond, I was like, oh.
Well, I mean, even if you could get 5% of the world's population to go to your church, then.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
And then I'm sure there's the next 10 and 20% after that.
There's a spectrum. Uh-huh. So that was a huge insight for
really
me.
Interesting.
I just started reading things like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and some of the atheist material as well. So I was kind of opening my mind up. I was meeting lots of interesting people too. Like I just was making lots and lots of friends and traveling more, and my world opened up and I was really excited, to be honest, and actually getting some sex. So that was good too.
It is such a strange environment for all of that. And you're supposed to assume that these married pastors are having these.
Either way, people are, sexually controlled and repressed, and it leaks out in weird, weird ways. I look at what's going on with some of the scandals at Hillsong, and I just go, of course they're going on. People are, not able to have sex until they get married. Like, what's that going to do? And the whole purity movement that came through Pentecostal church in the 90s, the damage that's done. Books like I Kissed Dating Goodbye, those books were selling in like the millions. And the guy that wrote that book's actually stood up now and said, I'm really sorry, but I regret everything I said in that book. So,
and yet millions and millions.
I think it's also, if you can control someone's sexuality, you can control the whole person in a lot of ways.
And a lot of things that people that are dear to them as well.
Mm.
So longer term, what do you think the costs have been? of being involved, but also of leaving.
You know, look, if I could time travel and go back to my teenage years, I would take a different path. There's no doubt about that. I guess I'm thankful for the experience in some ways, that in that I've had to question myself at such a deeper level than I would have had I not gone through that. I mean, to be in my late 20s and actually have to put everything out there and question what my beliefs actually are, my values actually are, and sift through it all is an experience that not everyone gets.
Yeah, most people
just go on autopilot, you know?
Yeah, don't have to kind of challenge those things so directly, and such deep things, you know, where you're going to spend eternity is not something that's on most 28-year-olds' mind.
No, and look, I've met some incredible people on the journey that, you know, I dearly love, and I guess I wouldn't be where I am now had I not gone through them. So philosophically, that's where I'm at with that. But it's certainly, you know, damaged me in a lot of ways. Like, it took a long time to heal from the damage and the bullying and the control. You know,
and how did you heal from that?
Well, for me, I think making some healthy friendships, that for me was the biggest source of healing, was just having really good people around me that took me in and just loved me the way that I am. So I think connecting with a healthy community, developing healthy relationships is probably one of the biggest keys. I think financially, I'm not in life where I could have been had I not been having my money bled dry for, you know, right up until then.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have bought a property in those years instead of putting the value of a house deposit into a church. Yeah, so there's damage on that sort of level. I think the damage done to me with my ability to have a partner and relationships, that took a long time to heal.
Due to their homophobia
like I had to, you know, just having to come to terms with who I am. That took a long time. Like, you know, I think there's lots lost years. I think, you know, it has been a lot of water under the bridge now, but I'm very concerned with the, you know, Pentecostal people trying to take over parliament and take over areas of our society and control it. And that triggers me into a lot of anger because I know what their agenda is, and I know the damage that can be done when that's the case. And I do hope that people open their eyes and see that, you know, a Pentecostal agenda in our society is not what we want.
And that's, I think, a bit about what led you to start that petition, isn't it? What, something that really made you stand up and shout?
Well, I was, I had a bit of a night. I remember I was, you know, not able to sleep. And so, I don't know, midnight, 1 o'clock, I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll check Twitter and that'll definitely help me sleep. And and I just saw all these people were posting about this. Hillsong have announced a national school tour, and I was really, you know, really angry. And of course, got no sleep that night. In the middle of the night, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I literally set up this petition, and I thought, I'll aim to get about 2,000, 3,000 signatures, and then I'll get it to the education ministers.
Yeah.
And put it out in the morning, and I contacted all of the people on Twitter that had posted about it. So I was like, please sign this petition. And then some high profile people, I messaged them, you know, that were quite political about these things. And then they shared it. And overnight, it got to like 2,000 signatures in that day.
Really growing and growing. What is it about that issue in particular, though, that makes you, I mean, out of all these things that Hillsong do with their, you know, buildings in theatres in Melbourne that they want to destroy?
That got me angry.
You know, locate that for people. So why don't you want them going near your children? Unsupervised.
Well, I do at the time. My son would have been 2, and you know, he's got 2 mums. So I've got a 4-year-old son with my partner Renee, and yeah, we're obviously a rainbow family. Having to listen to people saying he's the stolen generation and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I feel very protective of what's out there. Now I live in Fitzroy in Melbourne, so I don't have to worry in this community. But the thought of him going to school and being recruited by these groups scares me. And not only that, if they're going into schools and one of his best friends gets involved in this group, then he's going to want to get involved in that group too. So I want to know that I'm going to sending him to a secular school where he's free from that. I don't want him growing up like I've grown up.
But, you know, for the people who say, well, you know, every church has got its problems and all the other churches are allowed into schools to teach scripture. What's your particular gripe with this gang?
To be honest with you, that's where they will have their inverted commas success, is with young vulnerable kids. And I don't think it's right to recruit kids outside of what their parents want.
Sure.
So to me, it's a very big violation. And I don't know why that issue just really struck me the most out of a lot of things they do. But even the arrogance to think that they've got a right to just go around and do that. And, you know, again, we've got a government that funds religious chaplains and not secular chaplains. And these chaplains aren't allowed to proselytise, but they're getting groups like Hillsong in to schools in the back door. So, you know.
And that is a big,
the government
big
corruption around that too. Yeah.
Without, I mean, I don't know enough about how strong the evangelical side of the other denominations is, but we don't really see Anglicans harassing people in the street or Catholics dragging people along to mass.
Not in the same way and not with the same resource behind them. Yeah, they just seem to breed and grow.
Yeah.
But they're putting their marketing dollars and controlling TV and all sorts of things. So, you know, there's not a lot we can do about that, but this is one area that they're just crossing a line in my book. I mean, they are in a lot of ways. But that's
in the materials that you had, it was all about, you know, the lost and that those kids looking for hope. And you can just imagine how quickly those kids will be in Bible college in a couple of years' time. What were some of the things you think, Fiona, what were some of the positive takeaways or, you know, skills that you learnt while you were part of the big church?
I mean, I learnt, you know, some leadership skills and event management skills. Yeah. I mean, even to run a team of 30 or 40 people when I was in my early 20s. I mean,
run
a youth group, you know, there was just resources. And I was, you know, like I was reading leadership books like nothing else just to survive, basically. And now I run my own business. So I run the Fitzroy Market down here in Melbourne and I run a training business. You know, all of those things I learnt in church is why I can do those things, I think. Otherwise, I just wouldn't have been exposed to that. So, also, you know, mentoring people, even though the mentoring we were doing was very controlling. And, you know, I've had to go and apologize to people for stuff that I did when I was in the group too, because I was part of the machine.
How did that go? Did people respond to that?
So for some people, it was really healing. Like I caught up with people as soon as I left, basically, and just said, I'm so sorry. Yeah, because I'd told people to break up with people and I just said, I'm so sorry. I, you know, and they just really appreciated someone acknowledging that it was so, excuse the French.
Well, I mean, it's part of the whole thing, isn't it? People being exploited, but then learning how to exploit. And often if you are very young and that's your first, obviously your first management role, your first, you know, major role or even work role, role of responsibility, and that's the only way you've been taught.
I think also it's taught me to sniff out control and manipulation pretty quickly. Like I can see it a mile off now, whereas, you know, obviously when I was younger, I couldn't. It's also taught me that how resilient I am. So, you know, I think whenever anyone's gone through a tough situation and come out the other side, one thing you can always do is look back and go, hey, I made it through. And that builds your confidence that you can be more resilient going forward. So there's always good things that come out of it. As I said, if I could time travel, I wouldn't take the same journey. But
yeah, well, none of us would do that, really. Which I think is quite funny. When you're young, you say, "No, I've got no regrets. I've got no." Well, it's only until you're older that you've got the regrets. You don't have them till
later on. Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's been fantastic. Thank you. There's so much has come out of that. As we wind up, what would you say, I guess, to anybody who's thinking about maybe leaving the church that they're in, but they're not sure? And what kind of advice would you throw at someone who's, you know, just not so sure about where they are?
Well, one thing I'd say is just be aware for red flags. If you're having a leader that's trying to or is in control of everyone or being very authoritarian, that's not actually healthy. if people are, how are people treated when they leave a group? Are people being ostracized and cut off when they leave a group? What sort of comes out with money is look at the financial situation. Mm. Are the leaders making lots of money but everyone else isn't? Have a look at what's going on there. And if you are wanting to leave and you're thinking, I need to leave this group, but you can't see an exit point, there are plenty of places that you can get help with that. But also just look for one or two friends that you've got outside the group that can help you and give you the strength and support you through it, because that will make a world of difference.
Makes all the difference, yeah.
Yeah.
People have very, very strong community ties in their church community, and it's really hard to walk away from all of that.
Yeah, and look, there's, you know, the sense of family and friendship that comes out, it is very strong. And in fact, now that I have a child, I'm like, gee, it would be good to have a group of people that you just see regularly two or three times a week, and definitely tempting to get involved, but there's often a high price tag for that. Yeah, always question.
And that's the thing.
Never stop questioning.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Fiona. We'll be talking soon then.
Thanks, Tanya. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.